Let's pray. Lord, we're just grateful that you love us. Thank you for our freedom to be here, for a place, for your truth. Lord, remind us what your desire is for us, what you want to accomplish through us for your glory. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Since we are coming upon the resurrection season, for the next few weeks, we'll be talking about things leading up to the resurrection. We'll be talking about the cross and then the resurrection. But in the few weeks prior, leading up to that, we're going to talk about why that's necessary. Now, why do we have to have a cross? Why did Christ have to be crucified? Why do we have to have a resurrection? Is that necessary? So we're going to look at that a little bit today. I'm going to read this clip from G.K. Chesterton from his book Orthodoxy. He was a Catholic by denomination, if you know what I'm talking about. He was brilliant. He was writing this in 1909. So his circumstances were a little bit different. He was in a place where aristocracy was the rule, and a lot of his writings deal with that. You remember, because they didn't think the poor people were able to make good decisions. So really, only the rich people should be in leadership. That was a fight. We still have that. A lot of his writings is conditioned by that, because that's his element he was living in. He said, Christianity spoke again and said, I have always maintained that men were naturally backsliders, that human virtue tended on its own nature to rust and rot. You know what that means? We don't get any better. And if we're not careful, as we get older, we get worse. You know how that works? You don't see your sin, so you don't work on changing it, so you just multiply and multiply and get worse. That's what he's saying. I've always said that human beings are, as such, go wrong, especially happy human beings, especially proud and prosperous human beings. The eternal revolution, this suspicion sustained throughout the centuries. You, being a vague moderate, call the doctrine of progress. If you were a philosopher, you would call it, as I do, the doctrine of original sin. You know, if you understand that concept, which if you believe that, you are in the minority today, not in just the world religious systems, but in Christendom. You know, a lot of people don't believe we were born as sinners. They say we're not. We are. It doesn't take much to figure that out, but that's what he's talking about, the concept of original sin. He said, you may call it the cosmic advance as much as you like, but I call it the fall. That's what we're looking at in Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at it for a couple of weeks. And unfortunately, we got to do just a little bit of philosophical thinking to understand how this affects us now, what took place then. And then it points to why we are absolutely in need of the cross. Why is that necessary? A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people that call themselves Christians. Anything outside of Orthodox Christianity. Do you know what that means, Orthodox Christianity? It's not a lot of this new stuff like Joel Osteen and people like that. That's not Orthodox Christianity. You go back several hundred years and you see Orthodox Christianity. Deals with the five basic fundamentals of what it means, that we're sinners, number one, and the process of overcoming that is through the blood of Christ by what God had done, right? And then, if that is the case, why is the resurrection necessary? Because a lot of people don't believe that the cross was necessary. You know, Terry's a good old boy. God can just forgive him. He doesn't really have to die on a cross to save him for his sin, because number one, he's not a bad guy. He's not born with original sin. So that's the understanding. And until we understand how important this is, you'll never understand the whole thing of the Bible. The whole purpose of the Bible is taken away if you throw out Genesis. When Debbie and I went to seminary in North Carolina, we thought that it was farther along theologically. It had been very, very liberal, but it had been changing for a few years. And when we left Texas and came back over here, we thought it was farther away from liberalism than it was. So when I went and talked to the Old Testament guy before I took his class, I realized he didn't believe the first 12 chapters of Genesis were real. He said, oh, this is a story. This is a teacher in a theological seminary, Southern Baptist Seminary. That's how bad it was. And that's where it's going back to, unfortunately, it seems like. And what happens if you take away that is you don't have the devil and you don't have sin. So you don't need a cross and you don't need a resurrection. And that's how they do it. I mean, that's kind of the basis for it. You said Baptist? Yes. Lord knows. I'm not even talking about the other five major world religions who absolutely say we don't need a cross because we're not sinners. We didn't inherit that. That's not part of it. So to understand this whole concept, if Genesis chapter 3 is not true, we might as well quit and go home. We're wasting our time. We don't need to talk about a cross. We don't need to talk about resurrection. We don't need to talk about anything else. Just go and live like however you want to live, and that'll be all right, because you're good. You're good, right? My attention goes back to when we first moved to Dallas, and we went to a particular big church in North Dallas just for one service. David said, let's just go up there one time. We hadn't settled in a church yet. We were trying to find one, and we went up there, and I'll never forget it. Because when I saw the title of his sermon, I said, uh-oh, what is this going to be? And he was supposed to be some of the elite in Southern Baptists. And this was the title, You're Not As Bad As You Think You Are. And that's what he preached. I'm thinking, how did you even get to be in a Southern Baptist church in that time and believe this? But now a lot of people believe that. You might be sitting here thinking, I'm okay. No, you're not. You're a rebel. And I'm a rebel. That's our problem. And this is the way it is. If you can't see you have a problem, you'll never fix it. How hard is it to get a team to see what the problem is? How hard is it to get two people to see what the problem is? Huh? Anybody been there before? You work with anybody? And there's no way under heaven they'll ever see what the problem is? That's what we're talking about. If we don't understand what the problem is, we surely can't agree on what the solution to the problem is. That's what it is. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, did God really say that you can't eat of every tree of the garden? He's already twisting the truth. It's a half-truth. And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, we can eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, only one tree. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Well, that's not what he said. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. He didn't say that. So she's already kind of a little bit messed up on what she knows. We do that a lot. You know, like, well, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not scriptural. People quote that as a scripture. Well, the Bible says, show me where that is exactly. So she's already saying, oh, no, he just said, you can't touch it. He didn't say that. Get your facts straight, right? Always. That's what I love about Jordan Peterson. Oh, wait a minute. That ain't what the word means. If you're going to use that word, know what it means. Don't just say a word, all right? And the serpent said unto the woman, you're not going to die. Automatically, he's planting doubts in what she knows God has already said. This is prevalent in Christendom today. You know, the postmodern group, they said, oh, you can't believe anything that we've been believing for the last 2,000 years. It's all wrong. And nobody has an absolute, but they do. They have an absolute when they say we don't have an absolute. What did they just do? Contradict themselves, right? But, you know, that's a big thing still. That's waning down a little bit, but it was big in a lot of theological circles in the United States, postmodernism. And they were nutcases. They still are nutcases anyway. For God hath knows that in the day that you eat, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God. Bingo. The beginning of idolatry. You start worshiping yourself and your idea, over what you know God has already said. Hello? That's where it starts. That's where we end up. Why do we need a cross? You shall be as God, knowing good and evil. They didn't know good and evil yet. They didn't have any problems. They don't know what it is yet. But you're about to find out. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make us wise. Oh, I know the Bible says that, but, you know, I'm smarter than that. That works for everybody else, but it don't work for me. Is that how we justify it sometimes? She took of the fruit and ate it. And she gave it also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. We'll get to him later. Not today, I mean. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. They were already naked. That wasn't new. They were already naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What does that sound like? I'll earn my own salvation. That's what it is. That's the first concept you see of it. And they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it's pretty much, it's telling us this is not new. God's been dwelling with them. It had been a normal thing. You read the whole chapter and you see, oh, because all of a sudden God said, well, wait a minute, where are you? Well, what's going on, you know? And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah among the trees of the garden. You know what our problem is? We're rebels. We want to do exactly what we want to do, and we're right. Hello? I'm right. I'm always right. That's what she just said. God already told me that I wasn't right, but he said, oh, and she said, no, I'm right. A talking snake and an angel with a sword flashing to keep people out of the garden. Those little cartoons that show Adam and Eve are just covered enough with some leaves and her hair to cover up the personal parts of us, and a snake around an apple coming down the tree. That's a joke. That's what it is. It's a joke. We don't know anything about it being an apple. It never says it was an apple. Where'd that come from? You know? All we do know absolutely about the snake is that he was the locus by which God, by which the devil presented himself. That's all we know. We don't have any other explanation, but we know that's exactly how it comes. It can come in all kind of forms. Then it was a snake. It can come in all kind of avenues. It doesn't have to be that, but it's just, you know, that's what happened. And that's exactly what happens. And we see it all the time. Unless we understand this chapter, we'll never understand why there's a cross, why there's a resurrection, or basically anything else about the whole Bible. You throw this one out, and you can do whatever you want to do. That's exactly what liberalism did. That's exactly what happened to our Southern Baptist seminaries. We got out of that in 1988, but now we're going right back to it. Why? Because we want to be accepted by everybody. We bought into the wokeness. I'm talking about in Baptist circles. We bought into the wokeness. We bought into what is that theory? I forgot the big deal we had. Somebody help me. Critical race theory. Yeah, one of our guys stood up and said, we need to be careful about this. And then one of our leaders said, oh, no, this is great. It's straight out of hell. What you call him? What's his name over yonder? Marxist. It's straight out of the Atheist Manifesto. That's what it is. So we're falling right back into it. Why? Because we're so much smarter now. You know, the new theology on Paul, you know, don't go looking for that, all right? It's nonsense. Oh, Paul didn't know what he was talking about. Now we know. Paul didn't know what he's talking about. You see how that works? Why? Because we know more than anybody else. Is anyone an authority on anything? Sin only. That's our authority. That's where we know the most. We don't admit it. Paul said, what? I am the what of sinners? Chief. Oh, I'm okay. I'm not a sinner. Go out and start asking people out there on just in the world in a nice way. Talk about that, and they'll let you know right quick, oh, I don't have a problem. I'm not a sinner. I didn't inherit sin from anybody. I'm okay. I'm not as bad as you think I am, right? Wow. We're not going to come to any agreement on how to fix this mess we're in if you don't agree what the problem is. And the main thing is, we do have a problem. Remember that? Houston, we have a problem. Y'all remember that movie? Yo, there's something going on here. I remember one of my friends called one day. He lives in another part of the world. And he explained something that was going on. I said, you have a problem. And he started laughing. He said, I know, that's why I'm calling you. I have a problem. You recognize it. You have one. I have one. You know what it is? Me. We'll get to it. We think we are the center of the universe. It's called idolatry. That's what happened here. This is where it started. This is why we need a cross. Why is it necessary? Because if we're going to be rescued, something's got to happen that will change everything. Because we can't fix ourselves. If you go and you read some more of G.K. Chesterton's work, he'll tell you right quick. Remember now, he's writing, what is this, 24? He's writing 130 years ago. And he says, this is what these people are saying. He said, it doesn't work. He was a sharp guy. I've been traveling all over the world, and he knew a lot of what was going on. It sounds out the problem. And above all else, if all we needed was better health, then all God's got to do is give us some doctors. And he has, hasn't he? Some of you have had some things done from a medical perspective that 25 years ago wasn't possible. Me? You know, a friend of ours, some of the people, y'all know him, he just had a thing put in his eye a couple weeks ago the size of an eyelash. And inside of that little eyelash tube was, what do you call those things that keep your valves open? A stent. I said, what? His eye wasn't draining. So they go in and put an eyelash that already has a stent in it, in his eye, and it took off the pressure. If that's all we needed, we'd be in good shape, but that's not all we need. You know, if all we needed was a better economic system, all God would have to do is send us some people who are good at economics. None of these things change your heart. You might be the best economics there is, but you're still a pagan at heart if God doesn't change you. And then still, after he changes, you got to work on it practically. That's the kicker, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus, but you still look like a pagan. Oh, I know Jesus, but you still look like you just run around the world. Right? Hello? All of us are guilty. If human beings, above all, if we need better government, and do we? Oh, yeah. I understand God's in control of the government, but a lot of times he lets it go completely south like it did in the Old Testament to get people's attention. And still they don't get attention. Do you think ours is corrupt? If you're paying attention, it is. You know, I don't know what's going to come out of that last thing that they put on there. Now you just have no idea what's a lie or not. AI is so devious. You really don't know what's true anymore. Absolutely. You could check up, you know, fact check some things, and you still can. It just takes a lot of work. But just y'all see that thing where the Venezuelan president that we abducted, and he's willing to testify that all the machines that came out of Venezuela that they created, that we've been using in our voting, he's willing to testify how they used it and took bribes from people like Kemp to mess up the voting thing. Would that be hard to believe? No. How long has Venezuela been doing it? 20 years? They're pretty good at it. So God could give us better politicians if they would save us. But they're not going to save us. All they are is greedy. Isn't that right? Power and money. That's a good thing. I'm not supposed to be talking about politics today. All this shows you we're fallen. Original sin affected all of us. Some people say, oh, yeah, not me. If we need above all else forgiveness of sin, we need a Savior. Orthodox Christianity. I keep saying that because all Christianity that's supposed to be lumped together in Christianity, like Mormonism and a lot of this other stuff, is not Orthodox Christianity. No, 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 it's not. So you have to qualify that. Go back and see what that means, and then look at the people who say, yeah, we're Orthodox Christian. Then you'll say, you know, just a few years ago, whenever the Southern Baptist Convention was in, where are all the Mormons? Where? Utah. I couldn't remember. The Southern Baptist Convention was there. So Paige Patterson and several other key leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention sat down at a table with the key leaders of the Mormon church. They publicized it. And y'all remember seeing it? And what they deducted was, oh, no, 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 no. You don't believe what we believe. Don't come around here and say, oh, yeah, we believe the same thing as Mormons as you believe as Southern Baptists. They made it clear as day. No, you do not. They don't. Orthodox Christianity is the only world religion of all the six majors, the only one that says we are born as sinners. And the only way to fix that is the blood of Jesus. That's it. We're in a minority. And even in our own camp of Baptists, a lot of those people don't believe that anymore. They're gone. They sold out. You keep hearing me say it. Some of the people I used to respect, I wouldn't let them talk to my dog because what they've done. They sold out for influence. I know it. Because I've been knowing them 20 years. I know what they did. You judging them? Yeah, I am. I'm judging them. I am. Because when you look at the facts, you say, well, you know, this was black, now it's white. Something happened. Wouldn't that what you say? If it was all black one time and now it's all white, or if it was all white one time and now it's all black, you say, something happened. You know, like the old rancher, the first time he came up on the Grand Canyon, he saw that big hole, he said, something happened here. Yeah, I think so. Then we need a Savior. That's why the cross is there. A lot of people, most of the world doesn't believe that. Do you understand? Most of the world, and a lot of the United States, none of the Bible makes sense without this chapter and really understanding this chapter. It's not just a story. It's real people. How many times did Jesus talk about Adam and Eve? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How many times did Paul talk about it? Paul talked about it. He understood who Jesus was in terms of a running contrast between the first Adam and Jesus, the what? Second Adam. He said, oh, yeah, it's there. Correlation. Yes. He says in Romans, so then as through one trespass, Adam, you say, well, if I'd have been Adam, I wouldn't have sinned. Really? Really? You sin now, don't you? Oh, no, I'm not a sinner. Oh, yeah, come on. Let's be honest here. Remember, God sees all this stuff. He sees what's going on in your mind. When we try to rationalize why we do what we do and why we don't do what we should do. One trespass, there is condemnation for who? Everybody. Everybody came from Adam and Eve, right? I mean, right? So everyone that's been born on this earth, they're born as sinners. Well, that's not fair. If you create the game, you make the rules, right? I hate to use that analogy, but God created the game. So he gets to say, this is good, this is not. For everyone. So also through one righteous act, which is Christ on the cross, there's justification leading to life again for everyone. One caused all the trouble, one can fix it. It's really not complicated, is it? For just as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also through one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. You have to have a cross. Why? That's the only way to fix it. That's what Paul understood. It's difficult to see how much will be left of what the New Testament says about Christ if you do not have a historic Adam and a historic Eve that sins and passes it on to us. But not everybody believes that. Now, in Baptist circles, we don't believe there's an eternal hell. It's, you know, you get to suffer for a little while, but then you're annihilated. We looked at that last week a little bit, the story of Lazarus, and the rich man pretty much says, oh, no, he's not annihilated. He's down there and he sees out. It doesn't say Lazarus sees him, though. That's important. We don't see the heartache that's going on when the people that we love might not be there. I don't know how God's going to take care of it, but we don't see that. It says we're not, because it says we already saw it in Revelation. There will be no what there? No tears. No sorrow. All that's gone. If you take away Adam, like that, by the way, I didn't take his class. I was not about to take his class. And Debbie and I had already decided, unless this thing changes, we're gone. And then God miraculously passed a rumor. We were there, so I know firsthand. I don't care what anybody says. They all kind of lie about all kind of things. We were there. The rumor started coming around that Paige Patterson was going to come be the president. And guess what happened? All the liberal professors left. They didn't fire the first one. They just said, we're not going to stay here with that guy. Right. That's exactly what happened. Why? I wasn't about to take somebody who didn't believe the Bible. And we were paying them, Southern Baptist people. We're paying them to teach people that Adam and Eve didn't exist. Figure that one out for me. Can you? It's called politics. That's what that is. The Mormon church teaches that the fall of Adam and Eve resulted in temporal death and mortality. But Mormons do not see the fall as an unfortunate event. If I'm wrong, Doug, you correct me. According to the writings of Brigham Young and Joseph Smith Jr., it was a desirable and a highly necessary, because it turns out without the fall, there'd be no children, they thought. According to 2 Nephi 2, and I went and read it. That's some of their writings. He was one of their prophets, you know, that wrote for them. How about that? But there arises a theological problem with that. Why? Because said, oh, yeah, it's necessary. Well, what about the fact that God commanded them not to eat of the tree? So you get one of the Mormons to figure this one out and explain it to you, and they don't know what to do. Hello? That's just kind of the way that goes, right? Their disobedience, it was a sin. That's what God told them. And they don't agree on how to fix that. When I keep saying that we are in minority, we are in the minority. Number one, if you believe the Bible, if you believe that God came in the flesh in the person of Jesus and that he was sinless and that he died on the cross and then he rose again to pay the price for our sin, you are in a minority. Among Baptists, among probably anything else that would be called Protestant, because it's just not the going thing today. We want to feel better about ourselves, right? I'm not that bad. You're a rebel. How often do you do exactly what God wants you to do? Number one, do you know what God wants you to do? You know, you don't born knowing that. You got to study a little bit. You got to read God's word, and it tells us that, right? How is that? How does that work itself out? You know, I put this up there to show you how bad we were. In 1740, in St. Paul's Cathedral, on Easter Sunday, there were six people there for communion. What? Where did our gospel come from? There. Came from Europe. Now look at Europe now. What is it right now? What's the percentage of people over there who believe in Jesus? Single digits percentage? Yeah. All that's going on. And, you know, slavery is crazy. How many hundred thousand were in slavery? Kids, 4 and 5 year olds, were working in the coal mines. And then you have people come along like Jonathan Edwards and Charles Wesley, and they start preaching the gospel. And people are changed. And before you know it, you have a Wilberforce who puts an end to slavery. How many orphanages were built? Who are they built by? Christians. When we profess to be a Christian and our life not changing, you're lying. And I'm lying. You need fixing because you have a problem. I have a problem. If you don't think so, ask my wife. If you don't think you have a problem, I can ask your wife or your husband or somebody that knows you. Oh, yeah, let me tell you what he did. Hey, by the way, kids back there in the back tell on y'all all the time. They do. They don't think anything about it. And we have enough sense not to repeat it. Kids tell the truth. They do. So if you don't know this already, don't say anything in front of your kids you don't want them to repeat over here. That's the way it goes. Why? And you're going to be a fool sometimes and do something because you are a rebel. And I am a rebel by nature. But the thing is, do we want to stay there? The cross says we don't have to. And the resurrection solidifies it. He says, this is going to work, and I'm going to show you why we have proof it's going to work. The resurrection is the proof, right? That's the way that works. At the same time, and that's what I'm talking about, we have no idea in the last century how many people will kill by good people. Hey, because we're all getting better, right? You know, and he spoke about that in one of his writings in his Orthodoxy about how he used the word Democrat differently then because the world was a little different then. It wouldn't mean the same thing as a Democrat means today, all right? It's kin, but not the same. And basically, he's looking at that thing and he says, really, you rich people, your aristocracy, are no better than these people. But you're in control and you can't trust them to make any decisions, so you're going to keep them down and not let them get out. Right? But guess what happens? The rich people are just as bad as the poor people. Right? How many times did Jesus say that? Rich people, be careful. It's so easy for you to end up in hell because you depend on what? Your money. Remember how many times Jesus said that? Does having mean that for you? No, but there's a probability. Strong probability. That's what it says, right? There's a good chance, if you're not really, really careful, you'll worship that money. Boy, you know, I'm only 67, but I have learned a lot about people since I was 25. You know what that means? I've been paying attention since I was 25. I was paying attention some before I was 25, but not like since I was 25. Here's one fact that I've learned that's absolutely true. And my dad knew this. I only had a fifth grade education. People who have a lot are not going to be the ones who help people who need it. The poor people will help those people. As a general rule, not always, but the stats have always proven out. The minority is people who have a lot because they are greedy and they won't share it. You know, people talk about, oh, well, look how much, what's that crazy woman on television who got all the money? Oprah, yeah. She's a nut. She's a nut, and her theology is a nut. Oh, look how much she's given. No. Look how much she still got. You were $5 billion, and you're going to give $1 million? You didn't give anything. You see how that works? That's how you measure this thing. That's why Jesus said, oh, no, be careful. The Industrial Revolution, you know, and it really hasn't changed since his day. You know, we still have the people in power get to be elected to be in positions of power because it's all manipulated by that. Am I right or wrong? It's a miracle if it doesn't turn out that way. And so guess who keeps to run the rules? So when there's a new side of town that's being built up, guess who bought the land 10 years ago? The people on the council who knew they were coming. Is that crooked? I think that's called conflict of interest. You see how that works? It's not strange. Be careful that we're not guilty. Because guess what? We're all subject to it because we are sinners and rebellious. Well, I'm going to use it right. Are you? Yeah. The rich getting richer and the poor were getting poorer. That's exactly where it was. You know, the old saying is you got to have money to make money. If you're crooked, you do. It's hard for people to get up out of the bottom sometime. Why? Because it's going to take something from the rich people if you do. Please understand, I'm not saying all rich people are bad. They're not. But there's always the higher possibility. If you start drinking, there's a higher possibility of you become an alcoholic. But if you never drink, guess what? You'll never be an alcoholic. So if you don't build up a lot of money and stuff that you're not going to take with you to heaven or hell, be careful that it doesn't keep you from doing what God wants you to do. It's a big deal. Why do we need a cross? Because we're all rebels. We are. When's the last time you woke up in the morning and said, God, I'm a rebel. Will you forgive me? I mean, really. Wow, I'm a good guy. I'm one of God's finest. I haven't stole from anybody. Well, not on paper. right? God had all made all things, and what it said? And it was good. Then he made something else, and he said, and it was good. Then he made something else, and he said, everything was good. Everything was good. He put it all together. That's the way it was. And when he finished making all of it, and it was very good, because it was saying, God made the game, so he makes the rules. So when one comes along and says, well, you know, God, we're not going to do that. You've just taken the place of God. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm God. Hello. It's the beginning of idolatry. Matthew's sitting here. He could elaborate on this, but I'm not going to ask him to. A few years ago, Matthew and several of the guys that were going to base camp, he started telling us about this very complicated game that they created, about looking at cows on the side of the road and counting them. Okay, that's simple. I don't know, what were they mathematicians who were riding along when they created this game? Oh, well, there's only this and this. And Jonathan and I are sitting in front and said, this is not a game. This is economics. What are you doing? We don't want to play. It was crazy. I think it was crazy. Jonathan agreed. Jonathan Mingus. I looked over at him, looked at me. He said, this is nuts. Here's the deal. You're not God. You don't get to decide what is good and what is okay. And I'm not. Be careful. Anything outside of this is what God says, and as much as the scripture tells me, and I'm trying to understand it, this is what he says do, I'm going to do it. If you alter that any, you just created yourself as God. Just admit it and say, God, I don't want to be God today. I want you to be God today. Help me as I think through these things and I do these things, that I do this for your glory and not my glory, because you started and you said everything that you directed was good. Hey? That's not where we are in Christendom. I mean, unfortunately, that's not where we are in a lot of Baptist churches. Lord knows what goes on in the other ones. I don't even know what goes on in a lot of our stuff. I try to not keep up with some of it. But it's so far away from what the Scripture says too many times. Anyway, do we need a cross? Oh, yeah. I do. You say, well, I'm not in that bad of shape. Let me ask some of your family. Let me ask where you do business. How about that one? What kind of business deals do you do? Do they reflect Christianity? Or you try to take advantage of people everywhere place you can? Because you're going to manage the money better than them. Be careful. You're becoming God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for forgiving us. We're so full of ourselves. We don't look at your word. We think we have it figured out. Help us understand how desperately we need you, how desperately we need the cross. Thank you for sending it for us. Help us understand what it should do to our life if we trust you and what you did on it, and then how you validated it with the resurrection. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you will forgive us, and you will sustain us and give us the ability through your Holy Spirit to improve our life, to do more of what you want us to do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.